Good to be together as God's people. Good to be together in this place. Last week I wasn't here. You may have been. Last Sunday, Felicia and I worshiped with the good people of the Presbyterian Church of the Big Wood in Ketchum, Idaho. The pastor there was a University of Washington grad, and he called the children up for a children's sermon, and he talked to them about the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who are persecuted. He explained to the children that the word blessed meant happy. So children, what makes you happy in life? And there was lots of conversation going back and forth. And after a few minutes of cultivating the answer he was looking for, he asked them a leading question. He said, there are many things in life, boys and girls, that might make us happy, but in the end, there's only one that will make us happy forever, and that is, and a little boy yelled out, pizza! Everyone's a theologian, yeah. The response that morning was very much the same as it just was here. You see, not every children's sermon works exactly as planned, and for that matter, not every regular sermon works and is a success as we might have planned. You know, I don't need to tell you this, but the world we live in is harsh and unforgiving. It has been a particularly difficult season for many in our parish recently. We've been doing more than our share of weeping. Weeping for prodigal children who have wandered off and may never come home. Weeping for marriages that have grown cold and bodies that are just wearing out. Weeping in our families. And as we scan the horizon of human events in the world, we can't help but weep there too. The world we live in is harsh and unforgiving. Our nation has been disturbed, rightly disturbed, by images from our southern border. The United States, like the European Union, is trying to figure out how to deal with a flood of refugees, immigrants, and asylum seekers. The world we live in is harsh and unforgiving. The powerful nations have worked hard to protect their privilege and wealth. The policies that were put in place, the propped up dictators have at some level benefited all of us, but now rampant violence and poverty and corruption have led to a flood of refugees. People are on the move. They are not looking for the American dream. They are just looking for a safe place to live with their families. They are looking for the simple human rights that most of us take for granted. Now let's be very clear, none of us in this sanctuary this morning created this problem. This is a case where the sins of the parents are visited upon the third and fourth generation of those who follow. The seeds of this crisis were planted by others. The desperate poor on our borders are reaping a harvest of misery planted long ago. The United States and Europe are reaping a harvest of unrest as decade-old policies, century-old policies, are now coming back to visit us with a vengeance. Now, God has provided resources plentiful enough to take care of the people of planet Earth. There is enough for all to live. But when corruption, human greed, and gluttony are factored in, there may not be enough for all. When some use more than their share, when human beings are unwilling or unable to recognize all as God's children, even neighbors who look or act or dress or worship differently, if they are not recognized as our brothers and sisters, then despair and hopelessness will spread like a plague. Revolution, terrorism, unrest, and mass migration are all the result of sin. The world we live in is harsh and unforgiving. Having said that, it is not nearly as harsh and unforgiving as it has been for most of human history. More people are living in peace and security than ever before. Less people are living with abject poverty. World hunger has decreased dramatically in the past 50 years. Now, in our country, where we are experiencing a period of political unrest, we seem divided, and in many ways, we are divided. But this is nothing new. In the history of our great nation, we've experienced far, far worse. There have been darker days and greater polarization. That's right, believe it or not, the human world seems to be getting better. Most people are living better and living longer than ever before. But that is little comfort to those at our border, to those who are fleeing to Europe, to those who have no home and fear for their own safety in the land of their birth. The world we live in is harsh and unforgiving, but not nearly as harsh as the Roman world 2,000 years ago. For God so loved the world that he sent his Son to save the world, to change the world, to invite the children of God of all races and colors to live differently, to experience abundant life. Jesus entered a world that was marked by oppression and violence, a world where might makes right, to the victors went the spoil, the sword was the law. Now, you may think that your politicians don't care about you, but I guarantee you that Caesar did not care about the people of Palestine. The occupying army and King Herod did not care about the common people of Palestine. And Jesus was born to common people. A blue-collar father and a teenage peasant girl would be his parents. He was born in a stable, and soon Jesus and his family would become refugees. Fleeing violence, they would cross the borders to Egypt. The world 2,000 years ago would be unrecognizable to us. It was harsh and unforgiving, and Jesus came to change all of that. But he could not do it alone. He called the 12 to come alongside of him, but it was clear that the 13 of them could not change the world. If God was going to change the world, a world that God loved, then it would take a movement that would dwarf any movement in human history. Now, in our lesson today, Jesus sends out his disciples. And in this lesson, we're going to find a word of hope, we're going to find a higher calling, and we're going to be given a piece of advice that may change our lives. Listen now to our text from the 6th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. Jesus called the 12 and began to send them out two by two. And he gave them authority over unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money. He said to them, "Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that place. If any will not welcome you or refuse to hear you as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet." So they went out and cast out demons and anointed the sick and cured many. The Gospel of the Lord. Now, there's several points I'd like to lift up from this text out of the Gospel of Mark today. And the first is rather obvious but often overlooked. And it's simply this: we are called. Against all odds, we are called. The words of Jesus were directed to his disciples, and we are the disciples of Jesus today. We are the hands and feet of Jesus in the world today. We are called to change the world, to change our families, to change our community, to help the people of Bihar, India, out of poverty, to supply food for our local food banks, firewood for those who are cold, and quilts for those who need comfort. We are the disciples of Jesus, and we are called. We are called to love, to wash feet, to touch lepers, to offer forgiveness, and to model civility in public discourse and on Facebook. the task before us may seem impossible. And on our own, it is impossible. But with God, nothing is possible. The task before us seems overwhelming. You might ask, how can I bring healing to the world? How can I make a difference? After all, I'm kind of a mess myself. We are called, but can we make a difference? Can 1,000 people in an island of privilege in the Puget Sound make a difference in the world? Can Trinity Church really change the world for the better? Jesus gathered the 12 around him, and then he sent them out. But he did not send them alone. He sent them out in pairs. It was kind of like Noah's Ark, only different. But no one would go alone. Take a buddy with you. Work together. Now, you may think that the odds are stacked against us, but I want you to consider for a moment the challenge faced by the disciples. They were uneducated. They were mostly fishermen from the Galilee. They had no money. They were not Roman citizens. They could not vote. Most probably, they could not read or write. They had not been to seminary. There was no larger church to support them. In fact, the religious people had no use for the teachings of Jesus. No car, no cell phone, no presence on social media. Jesus sent them out two by two to change the world, and the task that was before them was impossible. I mean, the Mariners have a better chance to win the World Series than the disciples had to change the world. Let's be honest, the Seattle Supersonics have a better chance of winning the NBA championship next year than these guys had of changing the world for good. And yet Jesus sent them. And Jesus sends us. And in God's plan, nothing is impossible. But nothing will get done if we sit on the sidelines. Now, just for fun, let's throw in this too. Their leader, their rabbi, that would be Jesus, was executed as a criminal. He would die at the hands of the world's only superpower, and his religious movement that followed would be illegal. He would die on a cross. And at the moment he died on the cross, there was hardly a single disciple left. Oh, a few women were there. They were always there. They were faithful to the end. But most of the men were hiding out, fearing for their lives, and denying that they even knew Jesus. That's where we were on Good Friday. But some 70 years later, there would be 10,000 Christians in the Roman Empire. And by the year 200, there would be 200,000 Christians. And by the year 300, there would be 6 million Christians dispersed in every corner of the empire. Impossible? No. Now, the early Christians were pacifists. They took the words of Jesus literally. If you live by the sword, you will die by the sword. They also took Jesus' words about taking care of the poor and the hungry, literally. They took care of the poor and the hungry. In fact, history tells us by the year 250, Christians were feeding over 1,500 people a day in Rome. The emperor, Julian, was impressed, and he commented how the Christians took care of the poor and cared for the dying, regardless of their religious belief or lack of belief. The task before the disciples seemed impossible, and yet the world was changed. Hospitals, nursing homes, universities, and orphanages, all built bearing the name of Jesus, the Son of God, who came to Palestine to change the world. We are called. The mission is daunting, but we are not helpless. We are not to lose hope. We are to be people of light in a world that is often dark. We are called, and with God, all things are possible. So I want to encourage you this morning, do not give up on peace and justice. Do not give up on your family or your spouse or your neighbor. Each and every day, wake up and love. Wake up and take every opportunity to spread goodness. Be patient and kind. Be generous and forgiving. You don't control the world, but you control your attitude every morning when you wake up. And do not be judgmental, and do not be self-righteous, and do not be grumpy religious people. Wake up every morning knowing that God is with you and that all things are possible. And one act of kindness at a time, together, we can change the world. The world we live in can be harsh and unforgiving. The road ahead for the disciples would be more than difficult. The movement of love would be hated. The disciples and all the followers of Jesus would be persecuted. Many would die horrible deaths. And for every success, there would be dozens of failures. Jesus, who would die as a criminal, understood this. And so even as he instructed his disciples to go out and change the world, he gave them permission to fail. He told them to expect failure. Jesus expects us to taste defeat, to fail. Back to our text, Jesus told the disciples, it's a little bit narrated here, but Jesus said, if any place will not welcome you, if they refuse to hear you, as you leave that town or place, simply shake the dust from your garment. Shake the dust from your feet. Leave it there. Leave the hurtful words. Leave the rejection. Do not let a seeming defeat keep you from your larger mission. You see, Jesus knew that the human journey is filled with setbacks and disappointments and failure. Jesus knew that a message of love and hope and peace could lead to a sword or prison or a cross. Jesus understood the overwhelming task that was before his followers, and so he encouraged them to hold on to hope, to never give up, to resist the temptation of spending time and energy dwelling on events that were less than fruitful. And you think of the great historical figures like Martin Luther, like Martin Luther King Jr., they never gave up. Like Rosa Parks and Nelson Mandela, they never gave up. We are to just keep on going, trusting God and following Jesus. You remember the story of Moses, this great hero of the Old Testament. Well, 9 times Moses came to the most powerful man in the world. 9 times he demanded that Pharaoh let the children of Israel go. And 9 times Pharaoh sent Moses away back to his people empty-handed. And God told Moses, don't you worry about that old Pharaoh. You let me deal with his hard heart. Do not be discouraged, Moses. You just shake the dust of rejection from your feet and keep on going. And so the message to us is quite simple. If you fail in life, or you fail in love, or you fail in business or in fence mending, do not lose hope. Do not give up the fight. Simply shake the dust of defeat from your clothes and move on down the road to the next town. Walt Disney was fired from the Kansas City Star, and I quote, because he lacked imagination and had no good ideas, end of quote. Thomas Edison's teachers told him that he was too stupid to learn anything. He went on to hold more than 1,000 U.S. patents and invented the electric lamp, the phonograph, and the movie camera. And the children's author, known to you as Dr. Seuss, had his first book rejected 27 times by different publishers. And he went on to sell more than 600 million books. Michael Jordan was cut from his high school basketball team. And Jordan said, I have missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I have lost 300 games. I have failed over and over and over again in my life, and that's why I succeed. And then there's the story of the man who would never give up. He was born into poverty. He lost 8 straight elections to public office. He twice failed in business, and he had a nervous breakdown. And yet Abraham Lincoln is considered by many as the greatest American president. Successful people are often also the ones who failed the most. The kid, Ken Griffey Jr., he had over 500 home runs. For every home run he hit, he struck out three times. You see, there's nothing wrong with getting knocked down. Just have the faith, trust God, and get right back up. The world is harsh and unforgiving. Jesus knew that. He knew that those who dwell on defeat or lose heart will also lose their ability to change the world. Jesus told his followers, and Jesus tells us today, to shake off the dust of regret and failure and shame from our clothing, from our memories, from our minds. If we are to change the world, then we must accept God's forgiveness, learn from our mistakes, and move on. Shake the life-taking dust of setbacks and rejection from our clothing, and do not be defined by your mistakes. Do not be held back by the past. Do not let the past keep you from God's bright future. So embrace this day. Embrace the gift of life. Live for good. Live for God and love. And I've got to tell you, if you do all those things, you may be appreciated and you may be rejected. But either way, that's not your responsibility. We are called to be faithful, not successful. We are called to work together, not alone. The odds may be against us, but with God, all things are possible. So may God give us the strength and courage to get up when knocked down, to not lose hope, to believe when there seems to be no reason to believe, and to follow the rabbi from the Galilee as we share goodness and hope, as we work for peace and justice on our borders and in our families. Amen.